This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We welcome and greet all you listeners, no matter where you're at home, listening on the radio or on the computer, wherever you're at around the world. We just greet you to the program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. So Donna and I co-pastor a church here in Stewart. I was just thinking about this morning, Pastor Donna. On January 3rd, not too far away, this ministry will be underway for 24 years. Isn't that incredible to think about that? 24 years we've had Spirit of Prophecy underway with the Lord's help, and we thank Him so much for all the things that's been accomplished.
And so we sure need His help.
We sure need His help.
All the time.
All the time, we sure do. So we welcome you and greet you to the program. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour, like we said. Pastor Donna's got a couple of things she wants to mention. We got a special thing we're going to be doing here today, and I'll let her tell you about that at 4 o'clock, and then we'll move on unless she's got some other announcement she wants to talk about. All right, Pastor Donna? Hallelujah.
Well, you just about covered it.
Well, I didn't tell them what it was.
At 4 o'clock this afternoon, we will have prayer for our nation. Amen. Mm-hmm. We all know that we need it, don't we?
That's right.
Excuse our little scratchy voice, especially at mine, I guess. I sound like a bullfrog
today. No, you don't.
Anyways, praise the Lord. So we'll be praying this afternoon at 4 o'clock for 2 hours. So come by if you'd like to pray with us. Amen. We also have services every on Sunday. We'll have service at 10 a.m. And then we have service every Friday night at 7 p.m. So we'd love to have you come and visit us. We're here in Stewart, Florida. We are in the Monterey Plaza, right on Canner Highway and Monterey, in the corner of Canner Highway and Monterey. In the Monterey Plaza. So give us a call. I'm going to give you our phone number. And so you can, we'll give you the address and how to find us. And sometimes you have to explain how to find us, because you always find the plaza, but never find where we're at. We're right next door to Save a Lot Food
That's
Store.
That's right.
But many people kind of just, for some reason, just bypass it, or it's like the enemy tries to
can't find
keep
it.
Us. We're kind of hid away.
But we're not hid away.
But we're not hid away, amen. Yeah. So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. And you can listen to us. We're also on the internet. So if you missed part of this teaching, or you want to listen to some teachings that we've done in the past, because we do teach a lot of things about the Feast of the Lord and how they relate to the coming of Christ.
That's right.
And the catching away. So we're on WCNO, the radio station you're listening to right now, plus we're on the internet, WCNO.com, and they do have an app you can download into your phone or your device, and or just go on the internet and go to WCNO.com.
Hallelujah.
Go to Saturday and look at their program guide, and you can see us at 12 noon on Saturday, and it's called Raising the Standard.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Hallelujah.
So that's pretty easy. And so that goes, you can tell your friends or your relatives, and they can listen to us anywhere in the world, or go back and listen to any programs whenever they want to. at their convenience. So that's a real blessing for us to have.
Amen.
Amen. So pray for WCNO, because finances are always needed. And also always needed for this radio ministry.
That's right.
We do have to pay.
We sure do.
For this hour that we're on every week. So if you'd like to send an offering, or even like we said, this is going to be our 24th year.
January 3rd.
If you'd like to send an offering towards that, you know, that would be marvelous. And you can send it to Spirit of Prophecy. That's the name of the ministry. Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And that's at Post Office Box 413. And that's Stuart, Florida, 34995.
That's it. Amen. So we're honored to be here with you. We're on, as we said, every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. So we're going to talk about, we started this last week, but we're going to talk about some more about the Feast of Dedication, which is known as Hanukkah. And I wanted to mention, again, some people don't realize this, and we talk about God's appointed times. Hanukkah was not one of God's appointed times, and neither was Purim. But something in history happened, and God never forgets when people come against Israel. And we know there was a king that came and tried to destroy Israel again during the time of Hanukkah. After Alexander the Great died, you know, he lived to be 33 years old. It took him 13 years of his life to conquer the whole world. That's why in Daniel 7, the vision of him is a leopard, because it was so swift how he took over the world.
And that would be good to talk about that sometime.
Yeah.
Because we haven't talked about that in a while, about the leopard and those different kingdoms that came, you know, those different
all
kingdoms.
All revealed by animals, yeah.
Gold and silver and and also the animals and brass, and then what, mixed in with wood, and I mean not wood, dirt, you know, the feet.
The clay.
The
clay and iron, and they don't mix,
No, they don't mix.
That's right.
But, you know, you talked about Hanukkah not being one of the one of the seven appointed times, but it's connected to one of them, which is the tabernacles.
Hallelujah.
And to me, they're kind of like connected. They're interjoined.
They're parallels.
And you know, God doesn't like it when something, so one of His feasts gets stopped.
That's right.
And it was the Feast of Tabernacles that got stopped during this war we're going to talk about. And so God always finishes something, doesn't He?
He sure does.
So He finished it with Hanukkah, the dedication, because they had to rededicate the temple. Because the temple was really messed up, really bad. And they did terrible things in the temple. And we don't know. Maybe there's going to be a temple soon, because it's really interesting that they have the Knesset set up over in Israel now, which is how many years it's been they haven't had one. It's like the religious part of a government that they have over there. But they have contacted President-elect to be Trump. Have something to do with the temple. Well, we'll have to see what happens.
We'll have to see what happens.
But isn't that, interesting, though, that they contacted him?
Yeah.
Listen, he has done a lot. He's built a lot of places around the world. And so, you know, who knows? It's going to be an interesting year, to say the least.
And he's got a high regard for Israel.
It's not just that this just didn't start happening. He's had a high regard for Israel for some time.
A long time.
Many years.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to see. A lot of things are going to be really moving fast, and some interesting things are going to happen over the next 4 years and 8 years. We don't know. We'll see. We just have to watch. But it's important that we pray. That's why we're coming together this afternoon to pray. Because, you know, we think we haven't won the battle. I mean, we won the election.
That's right.
Thanks
so much more to be done.
But now the battle is just beginning. And so we need to pray and continue to pray for that God's people will rise up and see the church. See, the church rose up, didn't they?
Right.
And they voted.
They did. The Maccabees, too, they rose up, didn't they?
And so, and there was a remnant. And, you know, not all of the church came into agreement. And the church hasn't come into agreement. But, you know, it says when there's agreement, then there's the commanded blessing. Talks
That's
about
right.
that over in Psalm 133.
In unity, yes.
In unity, commanded blessing. So we need to line up our belief system, and we need it with the Word of God.
That's
because
right.
the end times are here. And so things are happening, and they may be happening really quick. We don't know. We're called to watch and pray. We're to be watchmen and to be like the Maccabees, and to be like the ones that built the wall. What did they do? They had a building tool in one hand,
and
they had
a weapon
in the other
hand. That's right.
Well, that's exactly, we're in those days now. Awesome, isn't it?
That's right, it is. That's right. So, it's amazing when we think about all the patterns we have in the Bible, that how
prophetic days.
How they had to stand up in different times. We always talk about Esther and Mordecai, what happened during that time with the Persian Empire, and how they stood up, and they didn't care whether they died or not. They were going to obey what God said.
That's why our church is called Spirit of Prophecy, because it has to do with the prophetic things of the last days. Also personal prophecy, but the greater influence is on the Word of God and eschatology, and what's happening in the world today. How does it relate to what God's Word says? And let us find those nuggets that are in there.
Right.
And so that we would know the times and the seasons. Paul said that we won't know the day or the hour, but we should know the times and the seasons. And so we should recognize the times and seasons
we're in right now. Yeah, it's in the fall.
But even what's happening in the world today, we should recognize that all these nations, every nation, every place in the world is being affected by something. You know, there are hundreds and thousands of animals dying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does God say about that? Fish and deer and big animals and little animals, birds and chickens and all kinds of animals are dying by the thousands, the millions.
Excuse me.
Why is that happening? And why is it happening? Why are there rivers? There's rivers all over the world that are turning red.
They don't know why, but it's happening.
But you don't hear this on the news, do you?
No,
you don't hear
no.
it on the news. No.
No.
You have to search it out, and you'll find it. Because if you get on the internet, you're going to find a lot of things that are happening around the world. And there's a lot of teachings that, you know, they won't show you. They won't tell you on the news because they don't want people to be...
They want to keep us like a toadstool under a tree.
They don't want people to be...
In darkness.
Afraid.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to know the times and the seasons. Jesus said, we're supposed to recognize these things. What about the blood moons? These things that happened, you know, there won't be another blood moon for...
Long time.
A long, long time. And so, it's important. We're living in the last days.
In a quantity of four, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
But I was just thinking about this, and I was talking about President-elect Trump. You know, Kim Clement, if you don't know this,
he's a
well-known prophet, just recently passed away. It was really a shocker.
On Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, but he spoke back in 2007 about Trump. Was going to become president and all
10 years ago, Pastor Gene.
So over 10 years ago.
He said he's going to be president.
That's right.
And it's happened.
It's all happened. So there's things underway that we don't hear much about. We know the news media wants to keep us in darkness. They want to lie and not give you the complete truth. But our truth that we need is in the Word of God. It doesn't matter what man says. If whatever's in the book, that's what I believe. I put it in my heart, and that settles it. So anyway, last week we were talking about Hanukkah, and I'm not going to go through and teach on all that again. If you want to get a copy, that's available from the teaching from last week. We're just going to go on. I want to give you a little more history about this. And we know that Hanukkah was all started from when Alexander the Great died. We talked about this before. And at a very young age.
Wasn't he the Fourth Kingdom? Alexander the Great?
You're talking about from what Daniel was shown in those visions? Yeah, that was the Fourth Kingdom. Yeah, it was the Grecian Empire. And so anyway, the interesting thing about all of it was he died at 33 years of age, conquered the world in 13 years, and he didn't give his kingdom when he died to his children or anything. He picked the four generals that helped him conquer the world. He had the one in the north, the south, the east, and the west. But in the Bible, we talked about last week, God's only interested in the kings of the north and the south. The north were the Seleucids. We talked about that. And the southern group is called the Ptolemies, which was Egypt. And it's a real pattern here about what's going to happen in the last days. And so we took you over to Daniel chapter 8, because I mentioned at the beginning of the program last week that most people tell you there's nothing in the first covenant that would even allude to Hanukkah at all, or the dedication. But Daniel chapter 8 does. And we find out over there that God mentions three times about the daily sacrifices being taken away. That means one in the morning, and one at 3 in the afternoon. And when they start doing that kind of stuff, let me tell you, God gets very angry. He gets upset. He's going to bring it all around and bring it back the way he wants it, to have it put back in place. And so we see this with what happened with the Maccabees and all. So the daily sacrifice is very important. But one thing I wanted to mention, I talked a little bit about it last week, in Daniel 8:14, the question that Daniel had was, how long will this happen? How long is this going to last? And verse 14 said, and he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Okay. Now, this word days is an interesting word, because look this up in the Hebrew. The word days, it means evenings and mornings. So we can read it like this. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 evenings and mornings, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And we took you over to verse 26 in this chapter, and this gives you another clue. and the vision of the evening and the morning, here we go, which was told, is true. So, interesting, those sacrifices are so important to let us know what God put in place, because those offerings were free will burnt offerings out of devotion to God, and God required it at 9 o'clock and 3 p.m. every single day. So we find out that there was 2,300, with this verse 14, that there was 2,300 sacrifices that were failed to be given to God during that time. And so we went into that about, so you have to divide those days by two and all that. We already talked about that. But I wanted to give you a little more history about this. I got my, the Lord just spoke to me, I got these books of Maccabees, and there's some interesting things. We know it's not canon, but it's history. And so we can look at some things in that and see what happened in those days. And so,
aren't these books of Maccabees also in the Catholic Bible?
Yeah, they're in the Catholic Bible, yeah. So as we mentioned before, there's so many patterns and similarities between Hanukkah and the Feast of Tabernacles because of the lights and the candles and all that. And so it's interesting. But these territories that Alexander the Great gave to his generals and all, the territory that they encompassed in that day would be today would be Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt. It's interesting thinking about that. So the northern kingdom included Syria and Babylon, or the modern nations of Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, and Iran. Now the southern kingdom was given to Ptolemy, he was one of the kings, which was Egypt. Now I believe that these four divisions of Greece will become four of the 10 nations of the false Messiah's confederation that we read about in the book of Revelation of nations during the tribulation. Well, who will they be? Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt. That's four of them. So anyway, it's an interesting thing to see all that. So what I did, I got my book of Maccabees out just to show you a couple of things, what happened, and I'm just going to read a little bit of this for you. And this is in the English version, which makes it pretty easy. This is all coming out of chapter 1 of 1 Maccabees, and it says that this Antiochus, he took her, the Jewish festivals were turned into mourning with the Jewish people because of what he stopped all their sacrifices, he stopped anything Jewish. All her Sabbaths he turned into desecration and everything. It was so bad. And then it says King Antiochus issued a proclamation that all of his kingdom should be one people giving up their own religious beliefs. That's incredible. Sounds like we have some things in America today. And then I go on down, it says he also prohibited keeping the Sabbath and celebrating the Jewish holidays. His laws defiled the holy places and profaned God's ministers. He also ordered altars, temples, and idols to be built, and pig's flesh and unclean beasts to be sacrificed on the altar.
Now, who was King Antiochus?
Antiochus. He was the Seleucid king that came
out. Seleucid king. He was not a Jew.
That's right. He was not a Jew. And the children were not to be circumcised, and they were to practice all kinds of immorality and evil so that they would forget the observance of God's law. Anyone who failed to obey the king's command was to be put to death.
Everything that's against God.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And isn't that many of the things that's happening in our United States of America now?
That's right. But, a lot of stuff against God.
But here, these things can be taken back. You know, we can take back the things that the enemy has stolen.
That's right. So we go on here. It says Antiochus then sent this command to his whole kingdom. He appointed lieutenants to govern the people and carry out his orders. All the cities of Judah were commanded to offer pagan sacrifices. Many of the people who forsook the law of God came together to commit these evil deeds. They drove the faithful Israelites into hiding in those places set aside for refuge. And we go on here with some more verses here. On the 15th day of Kislev, 167, in the 140th year, King Antiochus set up the terrible idol of Baal over the very altar of God, and similar altars were built throughout all the cities of Judah. They tore up and burned the books, the holy books of the Torah, right, concerning the law of God. And then it says, on the 25th day of the month, they sacrificed to the idol that stood above the altar of a burnt offering. Women who had their children circumcised were killed by order of the king. Their babies, listen to this, their babies were hung around their necks, and all who took part in the circumcision were killed with them. Yet there were many Israelites who refused to eat profane food and who chose death rather than to profane themselves. They refused to break the holy law of God and so died. all over Israel, God's wrath visited his people. And so we have a group of men that popped up. We know that a priest by the name of Mattathias, and he had sons, and they just weren't going to tolerate it. And it says here in one of the verses in chapter 2 now, many of the Israelites went along with the pagans, but Mattathias and his sons stood apart. They refused, and they tried to get the people to honor the word of God, not anything else. And on down it says, when Mattathias saw this, well, let me go back up. Now he was, when as he finished speaking, a certain Jew came forward to offer sacrifice to the idols of the city of Moedim. That means Mattathias was speaking a message, and this man came according to the king's regulation. When Mattathias saw this, he was not only saddened, but his hands trembled, and his anger was fired because of his love of the law. He threw himself at the man and killed him on the altar. And see what happened? Then the Maccabees, they ran to the mountains.
They rose up.
They rose up. They said, we're not going to tolerate this.
Now, this didn't happen too many years before Jesus came. Well, this was pretty close.
Less than 200 years, yeah.
Right, so it was pretty close to the end of what we would call the New Testament.
That's right.
So there was a great rebellion there the Lord came, isn't
That's
it?
Right, yeah.
How great a rebellion, and how they were trying to destroy all of Israel.
That's right.
Because before the Lord came. Mm-hmm. And, you know, see, and look at the things that are happening now before the Lord returns again. For the church and to work with Israel and to do the things he's going to do in Israel.
That's right.
And for the rebuilding of the temple, and you know, he's going to come in, this Antiochus is going to come in again. He's a picture of the Antichrist.
That's right, big time.
Right?
That's right. It's a pattern.
So didn't
for us.
He even put a picture of his face on the statue?
Yeah. Put a statue of Zeus on the altar.
Zeus.
Of God's altar, put his face on it and declared himself to be God. His name, Antiochus Epiphanes. Epiphanes was like a nickname. It meant God manifest. So he was manifesting himself, telling the people there that he was truly God. You know?
The Antichrist.
That's
he's
right.
coming against
Christ. That's the
Christ.
Same thing. That's right.
So what was Zeus a picture of?
The enemy. Satan was in control. Satan was behind the whole thing, trying to stop all this, we know.
He's always been there. Wait,
sure.
He's always been behind.
He's always there, yeah. So I'm going to go on down. I'm almost done here. Then on the 25th day of the ninth month, which is the month of Kislev, in the 148th year, they arose at dawn. They offered sacrifice according to the law, according to the new altar, a burnt offering, which they had made. On the anniversary of the day the pagans had defiled it, the altar was dedicated anew with songs, harps, cymbals, and all these wonderful things. So 8 days they spent doing this to dedicate the temple after those 3 years and 70 days.
But before they did that, they had to win a war.
They sure did.
They had to go to battle.
Yeah, when Mattathias killed that man, well, he knew he was in trouble, so he asked for any volunteers, and they had 200 or 300 people decided to run, and they went to the mountains. But as time went on, more people joined in with them, and so they had a handful of people that conquered this huge, powerful kingdom that came out of Greece, which was called the Seleucids. And so they won.
And God was with them. That's
all the
why
time.
They won. They,
That's
it
right.
wasn't that large of a group
That's
of
right.
people, but there were people that loved God and loved the Word and loved doing the Word, being obedient to God's Word. So they knew that God was with them.
That's right.
And it's a lesson that we can all learn. And, you know, if we're doing what God's called us to do, we can know that God is with us, and we'll have, they had victory.
That's
they,
right.
They won. But they had to fight. And so, and I think about our fighting, it's not with swords and all those things, but spiritual warfare, you know. We need our prayers and our intercession.
That's right.
We're called to pray and stand in the gap.
That's it.
Because here we have this picture of this Antiochus coming in to destroy God's people.
That's right.
Destroy the Word of God.
That's
and
right.
Destroy what God has planned for the people of
That's
Israel.
Right. Forget my throat here. I'm a little rough myself. So bear with me here. Now the last couple of verses I want to read here. I'm going to get a cough drop here.
There you go. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. We just thank the Lord, you know.
Yeah.
He gives us strength, doesn't he?
Right.
Well, so you can pray for Pastor Gene and myself and... You know.
So it says here that Judas and his brothers and all the priests of Israel
thank you, Lord.
Decreed that the anniversary of the dedication of the altar should be observed every year for 8 days with joy and gladness, beginning on the 25th day of the month of Kislev. That's all out of the book
Praise
of
Praise God.
Now let's go on with this a little bit.
Thank you, Lord.
I already mentioned that. Let's get. I want to look at more history with you about this. Kind of gives you a clue how bad it was and what the devil does.
Well, because they were able to rededicate the altar again.
Yeah.
I'll talk for a minute while that lozenge just kind of soaks in your throat. Because they were able to rededicate the altar and clean it up.
That's right.
And get rid of all the residue, the sin, and all the things. Can you imagine? All the killing the children and spilling innocent blood, and what they did in the temple. It's just, it was so horrendous and so terrible that there was the rededication of the altar. And so what do? They started again, because it's a picture, like we said, of tabernacles, because they stopped the worship of they stopped tabernacles is what they did. And that's the most glory, most
joyous time of the year
for the Jews, for a festival for the year for them. That's the one where it says in the eighth day is called rejoicing in the Torah. And when you know who is the Torah, Yeshua, Jesus is Yeshua, the Messiah. He is the Torah. He is the Word of God. It tells us that in John chapter 1, right? He's the Word. And so what did they do? They wanted to come against the Word.
Right.
It says here, right here in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here we have Yeshua right there with the Lord in the beginning, the Word, all three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the Godhead. It says that in the King James Bible. But because they rededicated and they rebuilt everything, and they put the things back in, well, some things were stolen, so some things they never did get back. But even Yeshua, because he celebrated Hanukkah, it had only been established for a little over 100 years or whatever. I don't know how many years it was before Jesus was born exactly. But
it ended in 147 B.C., and Jesus was born in 3 B.C., so it was like a little less than 150 years, yeah.
Right. So then they honored that time of Hanukkah from that time on because of what the Maccabees did, because they restored God's temple. And so we can read over here in John 10, I believe it's in John 10. In John 10, 22. It says, because Jesus, and it was in Jerusalem at the Feast of Dedication. That word dedication is Hanukkah, and it tells us when it was. It was in the winter. Well, so this can't be the Feast of Tabernacles, because the Feast of Tabernacles is not in the winter, it's in the fall. So here we have, this says it was in the winter, and we know it was in December, or what is called Kislev, right?
Uh-huh.
And so, and Kislev 25, and look what they've done now. Now they've gone and put December 25th.
That's
well,
right.
You know, we can prove that Yeshua was conceived during this time of Hanukkah.
That's right.
We can prove he was conceived during this time of Hanukkah. Yes, you did hear what I said. You did hear me right. He was conceived during Hanukkah.
That's right.
And we can prove that in
all from Luke chapter 1 and 2, yeah.
We can prove that in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a very important time because, you know, without a conception, you don't have a birth.
That's right.
So it was very important.
That's right.
How are you doing? Feeling okay?
I'm okay, yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I was going to mention you.
So let me finish reading this.
Go ahead, honey.
So it was in Jerusalem at the Feast of Dedication, and it was in the winter. It tells us Hanukkah, and Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. So it was already cleansed and everything. But they were doing things they shouldn't have been doing there, too, because remember, he cast out a lot of things, turned over the money changers and all that. Then came the Jews round about him and asked him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. So they had an idea. They knew that he was the Christ, but they also knew that during that time, see, they're remembering back what happened at the same time.
That's right, years ago.
Years ago with Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a picture of the Antichrist. Now, are you the real Christ, or are you another Antichrist? Because, you know, there's been many Antichrists.
That's right.
Hitler was an Antichrist.
Yeah. So was Antiochus. He was the same thing.
That's right.
Yeah. So I thought we'd look at some of the history here about this a little bit more and see how important this is to God, what happened with all this. And we have to keep that in mind. Here's another interesting thought, too, that there were several kings after Alexander the Great died that came from the Northern Empire, which was called the Seleucids. Well, Antiochus Epiphanes was the eighth king. This is very key to Revelation chapter 17, but I'm not going to go into that. But he's the eighth king. Well, over in Revelation 17, the eighth king is the kingdom of the Antichrist. We got a real pattern here. But I'm not talking about that theme. That's just a nugget out there for you. But before we go on, we want to know and understand that behind all this is an unseen power and spirit, and we know it was it's Satan in that group of his.
That's right.
But I want to show you a few little things in history about this. Antiochus came against Jerusalem and took it by storm. Listen to this. He slew 40,000 Jews in a matter of days, sold many as slaves, boiled swine's flesh, and sprinkled the broth in the temple and on the altar. Broke into the Holy of Holies, took away the golden vessels and other sacred treasures, made a Phrygian, a Gentile, governor of Judea. He also prohibited Jewish worship and consecrated the Jewish temple to Jupiter Olympus. Isn't that incredible? Well, that's how Zeus came. After taking away the Jewish sacrifices, Antiochus offered a swine upon the altar and made the temple desolate of divine worship. That's why the Matthias got so upset.
You know what I'm just thinking about now? I'm thinking about what a lot of people celebrate during this year, which is called the Solstice, the winter solstice.
It's coming up, yeah.
The same time.
21st of December.
And what do? They dedicate to these gods
Jupiter.
That you're talking
That's
about.
That's right.
And also gods sex and things like that.
That's right.
And so here we've got, you're talking about, what'd you say, you call it, is it astrology?
Yeah, it's astrology. Astronomy is fine, but astrology is trying to tell the future and all.
So what they're doing is they're bringing astrology and even this winter solstice thing, like some people have like these winter solstice parties, right?
That's right.
Well, that's all
pagan.
Pagan. That's all cult.
That's right. God told us not to look into the heavens and to worship anything. So they're using this to try to prove something, I guess. Now let me finish this. All this, I skipped a line. All this brought about the rebellion of the Jews under the Maccabees in Daniel 11. We talked about that last week. Shortly after this war with Antiochus, he died in a war in Persia. However, other kings continued in Syria and Egypt. Hallelujah. That's right. Until these countries were taken by the Romans in about 30 BC. But after Antiochus, who was the eighth king, God ends his history of the Syrian kings over the next 134 years. And they had more kings, but God was not interested in any other kings. Antiochus is where he stopped because he's a pattern of the false Messiah that will be there in the future. Amen?
And how long did he have control over the temple? Wasn't it like three?
Years and 70 days, exactly.
Okay, 3 days.
We proved that last week.
And 70 days.
That's right. He had power over the temple. Mountain. He did all this desecration and all the battle.
Doesn't it talk about this over here in Daniel?
A little bit. Mm-hmm. And then when they went to the mountains, you know, they were, I like to call it, they were like having guerrilla warfare mm-hmm. for those 3 years and 70 days, and they conquered this. It was impossible in the human mind because the number of people they had versus Antiochus Epiphanes. He had a huge army. But God was on their side, so they took it back. And so they decided, once they took it back, the men and all, they said, when we go back to Jerusalem now and rededicate our temple, let's just take right up where we left off. So they did all the same ceremonies they do at the Feast of Tabernacles.
Very same.
Because Pastor Donna mentioned that Antiochus came in on the Feast of Tabernacles, the very first day.
It's called Feast of Lights, right?
That's right, and began to desecrate the temple. So this is where the pattern is with this. It's so amazing when we think about the light and all that.
And the menorah had to stay lit for 8 days.
That's right. And it was the only one flask.
So when they went back in, and that once they cleansed it, they found one
flask
or jug mm-hmm. of oil. But it was only enough to burn for one day. So the miracle, and everybody talks about the miracle was that oil burned for eight continuous days.
That's right.
So that was the miracle until mm-hmm. they could make more oil. So here they have the same picture of rejoicing in the Torah, and Jesus is the light of the world. This is when he went in and spoke too at the
That's
same
right.
time, same dedication. He said he's the light of the world. He said he was the Son of God, and he said he was God actually, because they questioned him during this time of Feast of Dedication, which we call Hanukkah. So here, and you know what? When Israel, even when Israel won the battles, even from the very beginning of the Bible, like in the Torah that we're reading, Pastor mm-hmm. Gene. The battles they went into, and many times they were outnumbered by who knows how many, but they won the battle as long as they followed the Lord,
mm-hmm.
because who? The Lord won the battle for them. they went out and they did what God told them to do, but God won the battle for them. God sent a storm to stop to blind people.
Right.
Just recently, I saw that there was a clouds, like a storm cloud, over Israel at a border. And, you know, God can do all kinds of miracles for his people, and he will. He does, and he will. He continue. And even in the war in 67, they were about out of ammunition and everything else. But, you know, these people saw visions.
Apparitions.
Angels or
that's
whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they were afraid, and they left. They ran away. So, you know, God can do anything. But what is God looking for? He's looking for not only Jewish or Hebrew people, but all people that
the
love the Lord
world. That's right.
to obey him.
Mm-hmm.
So when we obey the Lord, you know, he will move mountains. He
sure
says
will.
It. Well, he says we'll move mountains.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's all under being obedient.
That's right. All under the obedience of God.
To God and to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And following him with our whole heart, because God's looking for a heart of obedience, you know, not compromise. Many people compromise because of their situations.
That's right.
But God doesn't care about that.
Mm-hmm.
God knows everything, every single thing that's going on in somebody's life or in a nation, and God's not looking for any kind of compromise. He wants us to follow the truth, and you know what? The truth. If we know the Lord and we know the Torah. The truth is written on our heart. And so we have to obey.
Everything he said.
Obey.
It's for our benefit.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, another interesting thing you're talking about this, you know, there's two abominations of desolation talked about in Daniel chapter 11.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first one was with Antiochus Epiphanes. So I'm going to just read that with you and look at the two. And then I want to go over to Matthew chapter 24 with you for a moment.
11 what?
Chapter 11. I'm going to start in verse 30.
Okay.
And we'll just read a couple of verses here. Verse 30 says, "For the ships of Chittim," this is talking about when Rome's starting to come, "shall come against him." Who's the him? Antiochus. "Therefore he shall be grieved in return and have an indignation against the Holy Covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant." It means he's going to show regard for them. All right. Now, verse 31 is the key one. "An arm shall stand on his part," Antiochus's part, "and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength," that's God's temple area, "and shall take away," here we go, "the daily sacrifice again, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries," and boy, he did, "but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." So here's the first abomination, and this was referring to Antiochus. Now we go over to Daniel chapter 12. There's another one that's going to come. And then we're going to go to Matthew. Amen? See where I want to start here, Pastor. Chapter 12 of Daniel is referring to the last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble. Okay, it's called the Great Tribulation. Well, how do you know that, Pastor Gene? Because verse 7 of this chapter, down in the end, says it shall be, and he asked for how long? It shall be for a time, times and a half time. This is equivalent prophetically. Time means 1 year. Times is plural, 2 years. And a half is a half a year. So it's 3.5 years. Amen? Now, and I like verse 10. "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise," what? "Shall understand." That's you and I.
We're to be wise.
That's right. So verse 11 says, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination," okay, here we go, "then make a desolation set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So here we see this about the abomination of desolation again. Now let's go over here and read what it says in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 24, what our Lord said. What do I want to start at here, Lord? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to start in verse 8 of chapter 24 of Matthew. Listen to this. "All these are the beginning of sorrows," talking about Jacob's trouble. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended." They're going to turn away, in other words, from the word, "and shall betray one another." they're going to turn away from the faith and the word, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Boy, I think about America right now, reading this, Pastor Donna. So much hate in this country right now. The love that we should have is waxing cold. In verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What's that mean? To the end of your life. Or if you're alive at that time, till the end of Jacob's trouble. Verse 14, if you don't get martyred before that. Verse 14, and this gospel, Jesus said, of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And then he goes on. When you therefore, now he's talking about, see, this is all in the future when we get to this point. Now he's talking about in Jacob's trouble, the abomination of desolation is going to be set up at mid-tribulation. Look what he says. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, this, the same thing we just read over in Daniel. This is the second one we read, not the first one. The first one was about Antiochus, and he's the pattern for this guy that's going to come that's so bad. And he'll be totally controlled by the devil. Shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. And he says, whoso readeth, let him understand. And if we didn't have Daniel, we might be a little bit lost, but we have the book of Daniel, don't we? Then verse 16, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. So once he's talking to them, this is the end of Jacob's trouble. Let him which is on their housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Just run, he said, run. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and them that give suck in those days when it's a mother with her newborn baby. Verse 20, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. How do you shorten it? Shorten it to 3.5 years. But for the elect's sake, well, who's the elect? I believe from the scriptures, the elect are the Jewish people. Those days shall be shortened. That's what Jacob's trouble is all about. It's not about the church. It's called Jacob's trouble. 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is the Christ, or there, believe it not. We got a lot of people claiming to be Christ today, and even in the last few years. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect again. They're talking about the Jewish people. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. When he comes and makes his second advent to the earth, over in Acts chapter 1, it talked about that, when he puts his foot again on the Mount of Olives. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together, because there's going to become destruction. Amen? So here we have this about this abomination of desolation talked about right here in Matthew chapter 24 to remind us that God wrote about this and had it put in the Bible, even though it's not one of his appointed times, that we would see the history and all behind all this, that we would understand when these times come. And so it's wonderful to be able to know that the Bible never lies. It always tells us the truth. And this one thing always caught me here was in verse 26, behold, but this, the Messiah or these false Christ, behold, he's in the desert. Well, I believe that this false Messiah is going to be some Muslim cleric that's going to be raised up, that's going to be recognized by all the Muslims, and the devil will take care of all with him and all what he wants to have done, and a lot of people are going to follow him. So God's telling his people, Israel, the ones who, these people that are here right now that's hearing his voice, couldn't possibly be there that length of time because it's way in the future. But he's telling the people in the future, remember what I told you. I've told you before. Go not forth. Don't follow these people. And so we have to remember that. Amen? So this is a wonderful chapter. And I'm just going to read verse 29. Then it says, immediately after the tribute, immediately after Jacob's trouble, in other words, of those days, shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. So it looks like there's going to be a solar eclipse. and a lunar eclipse at that time. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. This is the second advent. He's getting ready to come back. And then shall all the tribes are Israel's tribe, the tribes of Israel, 12 of them, of the earth, or the land of Israel, will mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect. These are the Jewish people again, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Shush, mandar.
Thank you, Lord.
A sound of a trumpet, a shofar. Amen. From one end of heaven to the other. Now, where I'm going to kind of close here. Donna's got something else. She's going to talk about it with you for a moment. But I want to go to Revelation chapter 19. This is our favorite chapter because this is how we got the name of our church that we're involved with and have been for almost 24 years now. Spirit of Prophecy. It's in chapter 19, in the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. I might mention this about the book of Revelation. We always try, people teach today and try to bring the church into this book. The first three chapters is all about the church. From Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, all the way to the end, the church is not mentioned till the very close out when Jesus talks over there in Matthew, in your Revelation 22. It's all about Israel. He's talking about the day of trumpets, the day of atonement, and the tabernacle is all revealed in this wonderful book called the Book of Revelation. All right. Now we were going to read this with you here. Where do I want to go? Verse 11, chapter 19. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. That can be none other than who? Yeshua HaMashiach. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood, the blood that's going to come from that battle in Armageddon. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That should be all of us, hallelujah, that believe. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and upon his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, John said, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. We just read that over in Matthew 24 about the eating of the flesh. That ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, his word, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Pretty powerful stuff, isn't it, Pastor Donna?
Very powerful.
So we have all this. This is what this thing about dedication is all about. Because remember, the temple is going to be desecrated during Jacob's trouble, and it also has to be rededicated. And I don't have time to go on this, but we're going to find out maybe next week that if we look at God's timeline and with his appointed times and all, that we will be there when that temple is rededicated. And it tells us in Ezekiel it's going to start on the first day of Hanukkah. It's going to last for 8 days, just like it did in that day.
Isn't that awesome? A time to even rededicate our lives this year.
That's right.
You know, I was thinking about, too, the calendar that we do every month, which I do a calendar that has the month, like, say, for instance, December. And I also have, on the same calendar, I have the month, the Hebrew month, which is Kislev.
Right.
And it's interesting, this month of December, Kislev 1 is on December 1st.
That's right. Match has done it, the solar calendar.
So the new moon is on the 1st of December, also on the 1st of Kislev.
Mm-hmm.
The full moon is on the 15th. It's always on the 15th of a Jewish month, which isn't always true with our months because they don't always line up the same.
That's right.
In fact, they very seldom line up the same.
Mm-hmm.
So the 15th of December is also a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
That's right.
And so here we have every single day is the same number, And so we have... Kislev or Hanukkah starting on the eve of December 24th, which is Christmas Eve, and it goes for eight continual days. Of course, it goes into the next month and goes into another new moon. But here we have these first day of Hanukkah is December the 25th, same day as Christmas, and goes through till New Year's, I guess, until past New Year's.
Right.
But here we have this time of dedication and the time that, you know, Yeshua really was conceived at this time. And so the time of conception, and then we haven't talked about it, but if you know the exact numbers of that a mother carries a baby, it would come back around to the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the same picture as this, what we're talking about now,
yeah,
would be the time that Yeshua was born, which was in the fall, because it says the shepherds were in the field. The shepherds aren't in the field during
the
winter
time.
That's
right.
No, uh-uh. So they are in the field. They were in the field in the fall, and that's when, the early fall, and that's when Yeshua was actually born on the first day of Tabernacles. And then, so that's another celebration of lights. He is the light of the world.
Sure is.
It only makes sense that these two
they coincide, don't they?
Yes, they marry each other.
That's
actually
right.
And one begins and one finishes it. So
you have to have a conception before you can have a birth, don't you?
That's right. So one begins it and one finishes. See,
that's wonderful.
The enemy tried to stop Yeshua from coming into the world. But, you know, he's not going to stop what God has in plan.
Amen.
What God has set is forever and ever. And that leads me to want to share one Hebrew word with you that I have on this calendar. If you would like the calendar, you can give us a call. We'd be glad to send it to you free of charge. The word is forever and ever. And Jesus, Yeshua, God is forever and ever.
Thank you, Lord.
He's from before to the very end.
Hallelujah.
End. So the word is Olam. And the word is Olam. And it's spelled with, it's four Hebrew letters, and it means forever and forever. I'm going to read what I have. And sometimes people say La Olam, which means forever in the Hebrew, and it means more than that, much more. It means to the vanishing point.
Yeah.
God is forever. God is Olam, to the vanishing point. God takes our sins on the cross to the vanishing point.
Hallelujah.
What's it say?
They disappear,
right,
don't they?
Forever away, as far as what? The east is from the west.
West.
So if
thank
you haven't
Lord
asked Jesus in your heart, mm-hmm, this is the time to do that. Do it, mm-hmm, do it today. Your sins will be wiped away as far as the east is from the west. The word mo'olam, which would just be the M sound before olam, means from forever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is pretty interesting. From forever. He is from forever, and he is to forever.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
So right.
God alone is from the vanishing point. You couldn't see. You don't know. To the vanishing point.
Hallelujah.
From forever to forever. God's love is forever and forever. From everlasting to everlasting. And then I have Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. So that word Olam means forever. Forever and ever. His love is forever.
His kingdom will be forever also, won't it?
That's right. So it's really an awesome time of the year. So, you know, it's good that we know about some of these things that happened in Jewish, in Hebrew history.
That's right.
And we know about these things because if we pay attention and we keep our eye on, a focusing point would be on Israel. He's the apple of God's eye, right? Israel is. Keep our eye on what's happening over there, that little country that's surrounded by the enemy.
That's right.
You know, and the enemy's going to come in again, just like he did with Antiochus and try to destroy the Hebrew people, and that they hate the Jewish people, and they hate Christians. Look at all, you talk about all the people that died during that time, all the people that they killed.
40,000 people were killed.
Right. Well, think about all the Christians, more than 40,000 Christians have been killed.
Sure.
Because people do not like, and they won't say they're not a Christian. They would rather die. And many people's whole families have died.
Sure.
You know, there's lots of places in the world where Christians are dying for the name of Jesus, and they're not going to take any other name. They're going to stand and they're going to stay because they know who the Lord is. And there'll be many, many martyrs. And the Bible talks about all the martyrs that will cry out, "How long will our blood be avenged?"
Because that's right.
The blood has been poured out. And so we just need to pray. That's why we're having this prayer meeting this afternoon. So Try to come if you can, 4 o'clock. If you can't, pray at home. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost.
Pray for our nation, yeah.
Pray for our nation. Pray
for
our president. That's right. Pray for President Trump and Pence. Pray for Israel. Pray in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Because the enemy is still at work. He wants to stop anything that is
of God.
Of God.
That's right.
And he'd like to put, he wants to be on the throne of people's hearts. But we have to stand, and we have to be secure in who we are, know who we are in Christ, and we don't want to agree with anything the enemy is trying to do. We pray in the Spirit, and we come to the Lord with our petitions. We come to the courts of heaven.
Hallelujah.
And cry out to the Lord for favor and protection. And we're supposed to be praying. It says over there in Ephesians chapter 6 that we should always be praying
right.
in the Spirit. Amen.
All the time.
We're just
that's
blessed
right.
to be on this program every Saturday, Lord willing. Keep us in prayer so we can get rid of this little cold that we have. In Jesus' name, I feel better already. Hallelujah. It may not sound so great, but...
The anointing destroys the yoke, doesn't it?
Just thank you for all you out there that listen.
That's right.
And listen week after week.
Help us financially.
If you want to help us financially,
yes.
That would be a blessing as well. Roscoe and Audrey are with us from the Andros Island, and they've been with us this month, and we're getting ready to send them back with supplies and wood and things that they need to finish building the temple of God over there.
Sure, pure.
All the walls
them.
Are up. Next thing is we got to get the roof on the building.
That's right.
And some other things have to be done. But
it's coming
along.
That's right.
All the walls all the way around are up. But, there's a lot more work to be done and a lot more money to be needed to be able to finish the project. Amen.
That's right.
The Temple of God on Andros Island. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. Our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we do have service on Sunday at 10 a.m.
And I was going to mention, too, if you'd like to get a copy of this book I wrote, the God's Prophetic Calendar with the Prophetic Pictures of the Messiah Revealed in God's Appointed Times. It's God's Word, It's available for $25. Maybe $4 for shipping and handling. We'd be glad to mail it out to you. So you
Amen.
Can make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. You can mail it to Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. And the zip is 34995. And we'll get it out to you. And a lot of details that we can't cover. We only have a certain amount of time on the program. But you'll get all the details in the book. And so we thank God for that. So we tell you every week as we get ready to close, we tell you to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. What do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat Shalom.
Amen.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.